AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on League Cup final day at Hampden. The season's first piece of silverware goes up for grabs for Rangers and Aberdeen. For Philippe Clement, the chance to win silverware early on in his career at a club that's not won it since 2011. And for Barry Robson, maybe a first trophy as a manager. Plenty to play for at the National Stadium. And I'm joined by Kenny Miller and Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, fantastic afternoon ahead, Gordon. It's all about who will lift that trophy at the end of the day. The weather is doing its best to waste this game, but I'm looking down at that pitch. The pitch is in absolutely brilliant condition. A striker's pitch, Kenny. Bags of gold and excitement.
Absolutely. Always gambling on those mistakes with centre-backs and goalkeepers. But yeah, both teams coming in off the back of wonderful European results through the week, finishing off their respective Europa Conference and Europa League campaigns off really, really well. Obviously, Rangers qualifying. So all we play for here today in the first silverware of the season.
Trophies, bragging rights. It is all up for grabs this afternoon. We are here in the wind and the rain at the National Stadium taking it all in. But in the warmth of Clyde One HQ, you have Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Consider the last 4 days for Rangers. They go to Seville and they beat Real Betis to top their Europa League group. They are into the last 16. Yesterday, the title race was put in their hands by Celtic's defeat at home to Hearts. If Rangers win their games in hand, they are top of the league and they have yet to go to Celtic Park on December 30. Today, in his 14th game as Rangers manager, Philippe Clement could have the pivotal experience of winning his first trophy for Rangers and the first major trophy of the season, a down payment on a possible treble. What is the case to be made for Aberdeen? Only this, that they have played Rangers twice this season, beaten them once and drawn with them. That's because they rise above themselves when they play against Rangers. They don't try harder, they simply rise above the team that today sits joint second bottom of the Premiership table, Mark.
Yeah, we've got a fantastic afternoon ahead, and lucky you guys there in the stadium to take it all in, because if it's anything like the league game, the preview that we had just a couple of weeks ago, it'll be a fantastic occasion. And after that, both teams have been in some pretty good form, European and domestic. So plenty of quality on the pitch today. As ever, team news will be interesting. I'm sure it's just round the corner.
It is just round the corner. I don't know what is even closer than round the corner, Mark Wilson, because we can bring you it right now. Lots of question marks going into a big cup final as to who should play and who shouldn't. Rangers have injuries and suspensions and various other absences. Aberdeen made changes the other night but did ever so well with a much changed team. So Gabriel has the answers.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Gordon. Let's start with Rangers. And as you say, much has been made of the injury problems faced by Philippe Clement's side, especially in midfield today. Dujon Sterling is the man who starts in the centre of the park. Not his usual position, what will surely be the biggest game of his career. He is one of three changes from that brilliant 3-2 win against Real Betis on Thursday night. Todd Cantwell and Leon Balogun are back in as well. Sam Lammers drops to the bench. Ben Davies and Jose Cifuentes miss out altogether. So here's the team then for the showpiece occasion. Jack Butland is a goal. It's a defence of James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Leon Balogun and Borna Barisic. John Lundstrom is in the middle of the park with Dujon Sterling. Ross McCausland will play on one wing with Abdullah Sima on the other. Todd Cantwell plays in the hole behind Cyril Dessers, who leads the line. The substitutes today, McCrory, Ridvan, Suter, Lammers, Matondo, Dowell, Wright, Roof and King. And what about Barry Robson's side? Of course, they had that fantastic 2-0 win against Eintracht Frankfurt just a few days ago. And as you say, Gordon, it was a much-changed side then. He's rung the changes again. 8 from Thursday. Only Roos, Gartenman and Rubisic keep their place. So it will be a 5-3-2 formation. Keller Roos in goal. A defence of Nicky Devlin, Stefan Gartenman, Slobodan Rubisic, Richard Jensen and Johnny Hayes. Midfield will be Graham Shinnie and Leighton Clarkson with Jamie McGrath just in front of them. Esther Sokler, partners Bojan Miovski up front. The substitutes for the Dons today: Doohan, Barron, Duke, McGarry, Morris, Palvara, Duncan, McDonald and Milne. Just one other point on the Aberdeen team, Gordon. It's only one change from the side that drew 1-1 at Pittodrie against Rangers last month. They were just minutes away, of course, from beating them, and expect their game plan to be very similar today.
Kenny Miller, what jumps out from that Rangers team at you? What's the headline?
I think Balogun coming back in, even though it was expected for me. Cantwell coming back in again, also expected. It's Dujon Sterling is obviously the standout one because he's still a very, very young player, even in his career, never mind his Rangers career. So to be thrown into a cup final, into a role that is pretty foreign to you. I mean, I must say, I think he done pretty well in the second half across in Sevilla against Betis on Thursday night. The one thing about him, he's got legs. You know, he can cover the distance in there alongside John Lundstrom. And you know what? He's no stranger to actually venturing forward as well, as I've seen a few times in his last couple of appearances. So that would be the big one for me, because in terms of ball handling and building things as a midfielder, it's not particularly a strong point.
Yeah, Gordon Dale, it's hard to look beyond that. This is only Dujon Sterling's third start as a Rangers player. He's a right back, he's sometimes a centre back, and his third start comes in a cup final in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, I think the lad will be delighted to get the opportunity, Gordon. It doesn't matter where you play, it's a cup final. And Kenny will tell you, and Mark in the studio, everybody wants to be involved in this. So he'll enjoy that challenge. I think Kenny touches on, I think Cantwell coming back into the side is a big plus for him. Balogun, he seems to really like Balogun and Golson as that centre-half pair. And the man in form just now, for me, Seema up front, he'll be a big danger this afternoon.
And when you look at the Aberdeen team, it's an incredible build-up to this game because it was a dead rubber in Europe, so Barry Robson makes 8 changes. But they then go and put in a spectacular performance and results. You sort of wondered how that would play into his mind, but he's made a lot of changes again, brought a lot of the guys that were rested back into the team. Is it that front two? Is it that Miovski, Sokler? Is that the bit that really tells you how he wants to approach this game?
Well, I think, again, he's had good success against Rangers over the time, against two managers now, Michael Vieira and Philippe Clement. So he's got a blueprint there to how to get a result against Rangers. Again, I think within that you need a bit of luck. You need to take your moments within the game. But I just wondered if there would be someone from that game on Thursday night who's potentially played his way into Barry Robson's thoughts, because it's a team that, like Hugh said at the top of the show, is struggling at the bottom of the league, you know. So these players have not been in particularly great form over the course of the season. So with that result, that incredible result against Frankfurt on Thursday night, could anybody have played their way in? Well, Barry's given us his answer. The answer's no, and it's a familiar look to that team.
The only thing I would say here, I totally agree with your league form, Kenny. I think they've been very, very poor. But I look at that front two. I think if Aberdeen can get service to them today from the middle of park or wide areas, these guys are capable of putting the ball in the back of net. And Sokler showed that the other night there. Terrific goal. Miovski, everybody's talking about how good a player he is. Should Celtic or Ranger or one of them go and take a punt on him? Everybody agrees that he could go and play at that level, no problem. But it's all about getting that service if you're going to put pressure on Rangers' defence today.
Mark Wilson, looking at both teams at the same time, if that makes sense, what tactically is jumping out from that team sheet of you?
Oh well, the big one for Rangers, no doubt about it, is the centre of the pitch for them. Dujon Sterling coming in, Kenny mentioned it there, quite young into his Rangers career, making only his third start in that position where he's going to be up against arguably Aberdeen's strongest three competitors. I get Miovski at the top end of the pitch, but when you look at Jamie McGrath, Clarkson and Shinnie in there, that's going to be an interesting one. I think for Rangers as well, young McCausland, who has sort of lit up the Rangers side since he's come in, again, very early into his Rangers career, but handed a start on the big occasion, so it's a big afternoon for him. And for Aberdeen, well, I agree, Kenny's right, it was such a great result on Thursday night. You wondered if Barry would think about some of those players. However, the argument is they've played Rangers twice this season, arguably their best two performances, especially that one away at Ibrox. So for me, probably no surprise that he's went with the same shape and similar personnel to the results you got on that day.
Hugh Evans, if these guys are going to cast their eye over the tactics and formation, I'll ask you to give us the psychological look at this one. How beneficial is it that both teams do come into this feeling pretty good about themselves?
I think it lends to the occasion, Gordon. You could have had a situation whereby Rangers were out of the Europa League and Aberdeen out of Europe altogether, but both returned terrific results and performances. I think Rangers' performance in Seville was the best performance and result returned by a Scottish club in any competition, domestic or European, this season. And when I go back over Philippe Clement and his time at Ibrox, for this to be game 14, the man has put Rangers into the last 16 of a European competition. He is two games in hand away from being top of the league, and today he could have the first trophy of his tenure at Ibrox in just 14 games. He is the blue Postecoglou. On the other side of the pitch, you have Barry Robson, who has battled everyone, saying that Aberdeen are not good enough this season, but they rise above themselves and they are not... I'll try and talk above you two if it's okay. I'll go back over my point while you talk amongst yourselves. Aberdeen have risen above themselves for cup matches and important European games, and they are capable, and they have the draw and the defeat against Rangers this season to make sure that they go into this game not as underdogs, not as sacrificial lambs, but a team with a chance. And that's why there are 17,500 people in Glasgow from the Granite City today. You can now start talking amongst yourselves again.
Good to see you're in a good mood on cup final day. Some things never change. Good luck to Mark and Andrew in there for the rest of the afternoon. Kenny, you've obviously seen different eras and regimes at Rangers come and go. You've seen the good times and the bad times and all that sort of stuff. As Hugh's talking about, how important is that? That kind of first piece of silverware, what is it that does for you? What's the significance of it?
Listen, I think for Philippe Clement, I mean Hugh's bang on. What he's done is he has lifted everything. And in his early part, we talked about this 2 months ago when he first came in, that this week in December could be such a pivotal week for Rangers in terms of Europa League qualification. Well, they've done that in the past, that test with flying colours, top of the group, into the last 16, missing out on that kind of... That last 32 round is massive for Rangers. And it was always, can he get past Hearts in the semi-final? Can he go and lift the first piece of silverware? We're here now. I think every single box that Philippe Clement had to tick in terms of getting more out of the group. By the way, a group that were really, really toiling. While still winning, box ticked, get to the final, get opportunity to lift the first set of silverware and get through in Europa League. This is the last one of that kind of real test. And he's done it whilst... Again, you're still struggling to find a bit of form. You know, I still think they're not at the top of the game. I think there's more to come. But what an opportunity today to kind of crown that opening 2 months with lifting the first piece of silverware. Massive for a manager coming into this club.
Yeah, and I suppose, Gordon Deal, we'll try and make our analysis a bit better than Rangers might win this and they might lose it, because that's kind of stating the obvious. But you know, with that brings its own pressure. How important is this? Because everyone... Rangers go in as favourites, so you're looking at it from the success angle and what that can mean and what platform. Understandably then, it goes the other way, and all the good work that Philippe Clement's done so far is potentially undone or almost undone.
Yeah, that's the thing. They come here in a good place, Gordon. They come here full of confidence, and I think every Rangers supporter will be the same, and rightly so, because Hugh described it there. Since the guy's walked into the building, he's been excellent. He's got a tune out of players that come in for a lot of criticism at the start of the season under Michael Beale, weren't performing. So all of a sudden he's turned that round. The result midweek was absolutely fantastic. Not just the result, the performance as well. So they'll come here with a lot of confidence, but we've all been there in cup finals. You've got to turn up and you've got to produce, and you sometimes need a little bit of luck to go with it.
Kenny, we do the eyewitness stuff, and you don't want to labour the point, but those are horrendous footballing conditions out there. The wind is swirling around this place. The rain is battering down. Yes, the pitch looks good. But what does that do to a football match? It's easy for us to just sort of throw it out there, but does it have an impact?
Listen, I think even just when you go out there, it's a football match. Once you're running about, you'll kind of not really feel the conditions. But I think more, I think Gordon was right at the start, for strikers, you know, for goalkeepers it can be treacherous with the bounce of the ball. For strikers, it's a real opportunity. If you're right on your game and your mind sharp, there can be mistakes there. You know, again, even for the sake of maybe missed time tackles or little these types of things, you really need to be switched on in these conditions, particularly defenders when you've got these types of players on Rangers side, McCausland running at you, Seema on the other side, you've got Miofsky's and Sokolas. The defenders really, really need to be full concentration in these conditions.
How much heart, Mark Wilson, can this current Aberdeen team take from the fact that they're not burdened by any heavy defeats or any defeats at all, in fact, against Rangers this season?
Yeah, well, it puts you in a good place, you know, that you've seen your competitors today and you've faced them up pretty well this season. But Barry obviously would want his league form to be better, but he's set up pretty well at Ibrox. Now, the argument is it was a totally different Rangers side, playing under different circumstances, with a different mood about them at that time, but still, Aberdeen went there and won. And then at Pittodrie a couple of weeks ago, you wondered if there'd be a reaction from Rangers much more positive than we'd seen against Aberdeen that season. But Aberdeen, you know, held their own. So Barry will take confidence from that. I think the players in individual battles will take confidence from that, rather than if they'd been to Ibrox and been sorely beaten, and the same at Pittodrie. Then you always go into that game today with a feeling of a bit of dread and hoping that you can get a lucky break to win the cup final. I don't think that's the case for Aberdeen today. I think they've got quality players who understand they can cause this Rangers team problem. But of course, like anything, they have to be on top of their game to get anything today.
How important is bravery and belief for the so-called underdog in these circumstances, Gordon? It just kind of reminds me, I was here for the semi-final against Hearts, and you're kind of looking at that as being a similar challenge, if you like, and looking at some of the good players Hearts have and wondering if they can cause that upset and give Rangers a bloody nose, and it just never really looked on. How much do you have to fully believe that it can be done?
Look, you've got to come out and you've got to have your game plan, you've got to have your tactics. You're up against a very good Rangers team, but I'd be very disappointed in Aberdeen if they came here and were negative and tried to hit in the counter-attack. They've got good players, Mark's right, they've got good quality players there. They've got experienced players. You should be able to come out here. It's a one-off cup final. They've got every opportunity. Away from home, they've had some of their best results and performances. They must take a lot of confidence from that. I'm not saying push everybody forward, but I think Aberdeen's best way of lifting that League Cup this afternoon is by being really positive. And I'm sure that the 17,500 fans that are down here from the Granite City would be hoping the same.
Yeah, that's the thing, Kenny. I think once you get to Cup Final Day, you can hopefully park all those long, tedious debates we have about ticket allocations. We know there wasn't the 50-50 split in the end, as you may have heard on 15 versions of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. But there is still going to be a sizeable number here. It should have that big Cup Final feel to it. You can see the fans, despite the conditions, starting to make their way in right now.
Yeah, you can, and you know, and this is what the Cup Final's all about. You can see, when even just walking in there, the Aberdeen fans are right up for it, because they know their team's had good success against Rangers over the last couple of games. So it's a big opportunity for them. It's like, I'm just thinking, just listening to Gordon about being positive. Listen, they need to be positive in the right moments of the game, you know, because Rangers will have the lion's share. Barry Robson's team will be set up the exact same way that it's been set up, irrespective of whether it's Michael Beale or Philippe Clement or whoever else. He's going to have his team set up the right way to give them the best possible chance to get a result. Because yes, it's a cup final, and you can say there's underdogs, but there's a cup there at the end there. You need to, the performance needs to be right, the game plan needs to be right, to give you the best possible chance to be walking up those stairs at the end lifting the trophy. So there's not going to be any surprise with Barry Rose, but what they've got, and Gordon's talked about it, they've got a front two that can trouble anybody if they're given the right service and the right support.
40 minutes away from kick-off in the first cup final, major cup final of the season here in Scotland. We're going to hear from the managers next.
Action as it happens. Your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
35 minutes till the League Cup final kicks off at Hampden. I'm Gordon Duncan, joining me here at the National Stadium, Gordon Dalziel and Kenny Miller. You've got Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans back in the warmth of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio, keeping an eye on things. Let's hear from the managers then, starting with the Rangers boss. He's not been here long, Philippe Clement. And although we've given it the big build-up in managerial speak, he says this week is maybe not quite as season-defining as some people are making out.
Saying that this week will define the season of Rangers, it's totally not true. There are for sure three competitions after this week that we still will complete.
Hugh Keevans, I sometimes feel like managers just need to let us have our fun. I know. I know what he means.
Yeah.
Because of course Rangers can technically still win three trophies, but if this was to go wrong and next week was to go wrong at Celtic Park, I think we'd be hard pushed to tell the Rangers fans to phone in, oh don't worry, this won't define your season.
Well, Gordon, imagine a Rangers win. First of all, it's the first trophy of the season. It's his first trophy as Rangers manager after 14 games. He is, if he wins his games in hand, on top of the league, and he has yet to go to Celtic Park. It would be monumental for Philippe Clement. The other side of that coin is that were he to lose to Aberdeen, as I say, joint second bottom of the Premiership table, it would be regarded almost as a form of industrial misconduct. How can you lose to a team like that? That would be the approach of the Rangers supporters. So there's a lot of pressure on Philippe Clement today. But when Rangers lost to Aberdeen at Ibrox, thereby dismissing Michael Beale and appointing Philippe Clement, Rangers were nothing other than vulnerable at that time. The signings that Michael Beale had made were being roundly criticised. He, Clement, has taken the same players and turned them in a very short space of time into a side capable of going to Seville and beating Real Betis in the best result of the season. Now that's what he is all about. He could go on and win everything in Scotland this season. I believe his influence over Rangers is that important. He came in succession to a man, Michael Beale, who was proving his unsuitability for the job at Ibrox. Clement, with his backstory of title wins in Belgium, came in as an experienced manager, a safe pair of hands, and he says he has no magic wand, but after 13 games, and where Rangers are now, Rangers supporters might contest that statement, Gordon.
This is not meant to be a criticism, Kenny. I think there is a compliment in there. How encouraging might it be for the Rangers fans that whilst Hugh's right and the results have been decent, they can get the job done without performing particularly well. I'm not sure how many of those 14 games you would say, oh, Rangers were stunning, they were irresistible. Of course there have been good performances in there, but it feels like first and foremost what he's taught them to do, if that's the right word, is win.
That's bang on. And you know, I said it, like, there was his immediate job when he came in was to try and get more out of these signings. By the way, there is absolutely no doubt come January he's going to be looking to dip into the transfer market and get a couple of players in at least, and potentially even a few out as well. But what he had to do was get more out of this current group whilst finding a consistency of results, and he's done it. He's achieved the Europa League, like Wolf says. He's got a chance to lift the first silverware today. So he deserves a lot of credit. You know, what I would say is as well, I think, and I did say when Rangers made the decision to remove Michael Beale, the players have to take a lot of responsibility, because you can still choose when you cross that white line to go and run and to tackle and to try harder and give more than what they were actually given. And I still believe there is more to give. And there's no way Philippe Clement, after listening to him in this opening couple of months, is going to be settling for anything. He's going to be striving for more. He's going to be looking for even more improvements and to move this team on, because what they do now is they find themselves in a wonderful position on four fronts. So he'll be looking to continue this, get this out of the way today. Mm. And I'm sure, again, there's a couple of league games before Celtic Park, they'll be looking just to win every single game. That's the message that he gives out.
Is that the bit that he deserves credit for, Gordon? Because I'm not sure, even if I was to go and find the most optimistic Rangers fan in here, I still don't think many would say, oh, what a squad we've got, what a team of players. But he's perhaps getting the maximum out of them, or raising them to a level that people maybe didn't think was possible.
I think that's where he takes the biggest pat in the back, Gordon. And he's come in and you look at some of these players, and a lot of Rangers fans and pundits like us had written them off because they hadn't hit the ground running. They weren't playing to the standards that the Rangers required. He's come in, he's organised, he's got a tune out of a lot of them. He's tweaked one or two things. He's maybe changed that training routine. He's looked at different players in different positions now. And I think he's got them all believing. Now, let's go back to the pressure on him. Of course there. He's brought in here. When you come to a club like Rangers or Celtic, as a manager, you're brought in to win trophies. And he's got a great opportunity this afternoon to go and win the first one very quickly.
However, Barry Robson will have other ideas. It might be Philippe Clement's first trophy as Rangers manager if he can do it. But for Barry Robson, it would be a first trophy as a manager at all. Relatively new to the managerial game, of course. And he says it's more about the players and the fans, though. They know they're underdogs. He wants to try and put on a real performance.
It's not about rubber stamping about me. It's I just want to see the players and the fans and everybody at the club being happy and winning a cup. And we know it's going to be difficult with proper Rangers teams. We know we're the underdogs. Let's just see if we can put a real performance on.
There is an inevitability, Mark Wilson, that here in Glasgow in the West, we look at it through the Rangers lens, and we spoke about the importance and all that stuff for Philippe Clement. What about Barry Robson? This early on in his managerial career, some managers go the full distance without ever winning a trophy. He's got the chance to do it very early on against Rangers in Glasgow. That is an unbelievable opportunity for him, surely.
Oh, without doubt, and he's got the opportunity to make himself an Aberdeen legend for many years to come with just a win today, because trophies are that sparse in that neck of the woods. And we're watching a man here on television, Derek McInnes, who had very successful Aberdeen teams over the years but only took away one piece of silverware in his time. So Barry understands what winning this League Cup would do for him professionally, and it may just kickstart their season in the Premiership as well, because that has been pretty poor. They found it difficult to balance their Premiership schedule alongside their European schedule, alongside their progression in this cup competition. However, if they walk away today with a trophy, then it'll all be worthwhile, and who knows what that can do from a positive sense of view for your season.
Yeah, Hugh Keevans, any young manager coming into the game, it feels like, you know, it's harder and harder. The guys all around me know that, but for you and I who kind of watch these things, you know, there's not much time afforded, there's not much patience afforded. So for Barry Robson, what an opportunity to go and get a trophy early on.
Well, you know, it's an unforgiving business, Scottish football. If he wins the trophy, yes, you're absolutely correct, he puts so much goodwill into the bank, he can live off it for quite some time. If, on the other hand, you don't win the trophy, then the crowd immediately turn and look at the position in the league table, and they then say, you better get us up to the top six quickly, or we want a change of manager. That's the way Scottish football works. Look at the number of managers we have lost this season already. 5 out of a 12-team league have gone. It's not even Christmas. So it's a big day for both managers for different reasons. But Barry Robson knows it's goodwill on the bank, or else they might want to cancel your account.
You know him, Kenny Miller, of course. You'll have crossed paths many times over your career. What does today mean for him?
Listen, when you listen to Barry Robson, he's always putting on his players, and it's about the club and it's about the fans, and that is right, and that's a manager's job to do that. You prepare your team, you get yourself ready. Again, it's something he's done pretty well when he's been facing Rangers over his spell as the manager. But make no mistake about it, he'll feel as proud as anybody if he can produce a winning team today and be lifting this cup. And you know what, when he goes up himself to pick it, there'll be a real sense of pride there. So it's a manager's job to always kind of take yourself out there, and he does it pretty well over the time that he's been the manager. But he's now the one that's put the team together. He's the one that's going to decide the game plan alongside his staff. And again, he will deserve a huge amount of credit if his team can go and get the job done.
I don't know if I've told you this, Kenny, but I've stood in those shoes leading a team to a League Cup
final. Have you never mentioned it?
I don't know if you or Mark have ever had
it's
that.
It's the shoes you're wearing this afternoon I'm a bit more worried about, but we'll get to them later
on. I'm getting back to the Barry Robson. Look, as much as come out there and talk about the fans and the team, you want that for yourself as well. You've worked so hard for it. It's a great opportunity. He will be bursting at the seams in that dressing room, trying to get as much out of these players as possibly can.
And for his career, he's a winner now. He becomes a winner off the back of this.
Unfortunately, Rangers were too good on the day.
How did that end up for you, Daz? What was the score again?
It was, 2-3-4 maybe, I don't know.
5-6.
The players just 7. Didn't live up to my expectation.
Yeah, it's the players' fault. It's the players' fault.
Listen, Mark Wilson, I know that on Cup Final Day we tend to make things a bit more serious, but I'll share a quick anecdote with you that I know you will appreciate. So you may remember a couple of weeks ago on the show, we exposed Gordon DL for wearing very inappropriate footwear for a man in his 60s. Remember, he came in with the Nike trainers on, and they had the kind of lime green air bubbles in the back, and we're thinking, surely not for a man of his vintage. Hugh Keevans will tell you, the media used to be expected to dress up on Cup Final Day.
Correct.
Well, he's turned up at the National Stadium with those Nike trainers
on.
Now, but it gets worse, because we're walking down Aitkenhead Road in the pouring rain trying to get to the stadium, and I've clocked him and I can't take my eyes off him, and I'm thinking, look at this guy walking to Hampden in those Nike shoes, fit for an 11-year-old, and I'm staring at them, and I'm still staring at them watching this in real time. I see that his lace is undone, and I'm still staring at them, and then he rolls his ankle. Like, whilst I'm looking at his foot, I see it in real time. He rolls his ankle, nearly goes onto the road, has to put his umbrella down, stop at the bus stop, tie his lace.
Oh, certainly nobody wants to be in your shoes today, I'll tell you that. They're disgusting, those things. You should be ashamed of yourself.
This is a man with a free bus pass in his pocket.
I forgot about that, you.
Anyway, back to the more serious stuff whilst we move away from Gordon DL's footwear. You look at some of the kind of key battles, if you like, Kenny, and the good thing is we have mentioned it a few times. We've got good samples here. We've got Pittodrie quite recently. What are the battles that can define this one this afternoon for you?
I think the battle between Aberdeen's front men and Conor Goldson and Leon Balogun is going to be key to this, and it's how they can get the ball. I've said it all along, to get success against Rangers, watching them a lot, you need to be asking the defensive lot back a lot of questions. And what Aberdeen have got is got guys at the top end of the pitch that if they're given that right service and support, they can really trouble that too. Again, you always kind of look to the engine room, you always look to the midfield as well, and I think don't know if it was Mark that was saying it's potentially the strongest area of Aberdeen's team in the middle of the pitch, with Clarkson, Shinney and McGrath. You've also now got Lundstrom, who's at the top of his game in the Rangers jersey at this moment in time, but a really inexperienced player in Dujon Sterling in there. So it'll also be a key battle to maybe set the tone and try and get footholds in the game. But I really think at the top end, Aberdeen, if they want to be successful today, then they need to get Sokler and they need to get Miovski asking questions of Olsen and
Balogun. It's hard to argue with that, Kenny, but you look at the, as you say, the middle of the pad, you look at the top two against Rangers defence. Me personally, I think down the flanks this afternoon has got to be key. You know, you look at Rangers, if they can get Tavernier, Barisic, McLaughlin, and Sima into these positions in behind Aberdeen, I think they will cause them all sorts of problems.
It's also that, though, that's been the best and the worst of Rangers in recent seasons, hasn't it? Even under a couple of managers, when that's going well and it works, the Rangers fans love it. And when it doesn't, we get bombarded with phone calls saying, do we just keep crossing the ball? How many times do we cross the ball? So what's the key to making that work properly?
I think McCausland today is the kind of guy that is a ball carrier. He can take it inside, he can take it down the flanks. If he comes inside, he gives that opportunity for Tavernier. Now, if Tavernier gets into these positions, and as much as Barisic comes under a bit of criticism from some sections of Rangers support, the one thing he's got is a terrific delivery. And you look at Sima, for instance, we didn't realise how good in the air he was. You know, so if they can get decent balls in there, they'll cause problems.
Yeah, Kenny Miller, you know this all too well. The opportunities for players today is that you write your name in the history books, you make yourself a Hampden hero, you win silverware for your team. And if you're looking at goal threats for Rangers, Abdallah Sima's got to be the man, surely, based on this season's form.
Absolutely is. You know, he's fought what game? And Philippe Clement deserves credit for this. I mean, he was also playing in the position before Philippe Clement came in, but he's got him into a way playing in a system in the position that suits him. He's getting the right type of service. He's not someone who wants too much ball to the feet. He wants the ball in behind where he can use his pace and his power. And Gordon's absolutely right. His size, and he's very, very good at arriving in the box. He scored a lot of headers, even in the couple of goals he's got on Thursday night in Seville, and also last week against St Mirren. Actually just arriving in the box at the right time for a one-touch finish. So he's in wonderful form. So there's no doubt, with 14 goals this season, he is their kind of main goal threat alongside Cyril Dessers. But I also feel that Todd Cantwell, with Gordon's right, if you're going wide, and you're spreading Aberdeen across, there may be spaces to penetrate centrally for Todd Cantwell. He needs to make forward runs, he needs to be getting on the ball and affecting them. And by the way, he's another one that needs to find his best form this season, because the way he finished last season, a lot of Rangers fans thought he could have been a big, big player for Rangers this year.
See, that's the thing, Hugh, whether it's Abdallah Seema or someone else, these players just don't realise how close they are to becoming a future answer on the full-time teaser.
Well, that's for another day, but I think Seema is the number one threat for me for Rangers. His goal again midweek in Seville, first class. He has the magic touch for Rangers, and I think he is a certain goal scorer today. He'd be my main reason for tipping Rangers to win.
We are nearly there at the National Stadium. The final build-up to kickoff's coming next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes to go here at the National Stadium. It's tough here, I must say. Gordondale's been mobbed by adoring fans behind us. Kenny Miller, things that you never thought was would possibly happen.
It was an ex-player.
Was it? Oh, that's fine. I thought there had to be an explanation.
Just lie. Nobody's doing it.
He's got his headset on now, though. The boos that you can hear are because Rangers have finished their warm-up. We are we're pretty much on the halfway line, but we're slightly edged over towards the Aberdeen fans. So they are greeting the Rangers players with boos as they finish that warm-up. Kenny Miller, you've been here many times for club and country on cup final day at this point. What's going through your head down there if you're a Rangers player?
Well, listen, it's job done now. You know, it's getting in, getting your final bits of preparation. I wonder if the manager and the coach have got the final message for some of the players, just kind of going over maybe the final details, just again, the set plays, who you're marking, that type of thing. But as a player now, you're in the zone. You know, you're looking forward to that first whistle going, and you can get to the job that you're paid to do. You know, something that you've been looking forward to now for a number of weeks since you beat Hearts in the semi. An opportunity to go out there on that pitch, that wonderful pitch, and perform and lift a trophy.
And Gordon Biel, the managers as well, for them, we don't know, we're not fly on the wall, I suppose, but is this one last chance for the old Braveheart speech, or is it much more calculated now? Is it all done? Is it all now left to the players? Is it all about letting them know their jobs in advance?
Yeah, I think the managers will probably leave up to the players. We'll have a chat with one or two just going round the dressing room while they're getting their boots and their strip and everything prepared. But they've done their job, Gordon. They can only influence the game now if it's a tactical situation, the pitch, or it's a substitution. Just now, they've got to trust the players when they go over a white line, follow the instructions, go and play at the best of your ability, and hopefully at the end of it, you win a trophy.
What were the contrasting styles that you experienced, Kenny? Us fans and observers like to think that down beneath us, there are some unbelievable words of wisdom and team talks flying around. Does it happen?
Well, you know what? Again, it's everything different. As a player in that scenario, now, you've been through, and I'm sure Mark and Gordon have been in it as well, there has been these kind of motivational videos and things, that sometimes you get them on the way to the game, sometimes you get them back in the hotel as part of the build-up. Personally, I wouldn't mind something like that right now. Right before I go out, just something that's maybe reminding you what's went before. Ex-teams and players and things that have lifted this trophy and what it actually means to all these fans that you see right now waving the flag. You know, I wouldn't mind that just before I go out. But, like you say, Gordon says, the work has been done, the prep's been done. You've got to now put the trust in those players, not only to go out and carry out the game plan, but go and be good players. Go and enjoy it, go and make good decisions, and go and potentially go and make yourself a hero for years to come, you know, and like you say, be one of these answers on the Super Scoreboard full-time teaser.
There is no higher accolade, trust me, in the modern game. I mean, Kenny, I think one of the great things about Scottish football is just how seriously we take this competition, how much it matters, because let's be honest, if you're one of the big two, it's part of a treble, and if you're not one of the big two, it's maybe your best chance at silverware. Some countries don't even have a League Cup. Yeah. Others that do don't really care about it that much. We're seeing images on the screen, you spoke about it on Friday night, of all the great things that Walter Smith achieved. You said that your one abiding footballing moment, memory if you like, was what he did to help you guys get over the line in a final. So, you know, that's how important these League Cup finals can be and how long they live in the memory.
No, absolutely is, and you're right. For when you represent one of the big two, it's important that you are competitive and challenging to win absolutely every trophy that is out there to be won. I mean, that man on that screen just now, Walter Smith, the part that he played in that 2010 final when we're down to nine men and we were absolutely scrambling about. It looked like we were going to lose the final, you know, but he kind of just pulled us and pushed us and prompted us to keep going to the very end. And you know, I've said it along, football's decidal moments. You have to take your big moment, and that day it came along. I was fortunate enough to plant a header into the bottom corner, you know, and we won that day. And one of the memories that I've got, and I said it on Friday night, is no, the goal, it's actually when the camera pans to the great man, you know, and when I'm heading that and he's actually heading that in with me, and it goes in the back of the goal, and I can still see the fencing that was across there kind of rattling once you score that winning goal. You know, no better feeling. And for these players on both sides, they've got a chance to go and be that guy today. I mean, what a wonderful occasion.
Well, the pre-match talk is pretty much done. The card displays to our right about to be assembled by the Aberdeen fans. The Rangers fans have opted for a flag display behind the other goal. The Viaplay signage is all there. I suspect there'll be some pyrotechnics to heat us up as well. And all that all means is that kick-off here at Hampden is coming next.
The winning team, all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just over 5 minutes to kick off here at Hampden as Rangers and Aberdeen get set to contest the League Cup final. Hugh Keevans has told us many times on the show that these are his ideal conditions for football. It is dark, it is gloomy, it is sinister, much like your outlook on life, Hugh Keevans. It is perfect for a cup final.
It is absolutely sensational. We've had a day without daylight. I like that. But I think it will lend to the occasion again, and I think we'll get a terrific match. I'm glad both are going into it off the back of fantastic European results. My instinct, and who knows how questionable that might be on the day, but my instinct is to go for Rangers by 3-1.
Kenny Miller and Gordon Dalziel will get your predictions in a second, but how much of the importance of today is about the historical significance or the need for both of these teams to do better in this competition, Kenny? I know there are reasons for it, and yeah, it's been a long old period for Rangers, but for Rangers to not have won this competition since 2011 is incredible, and for Aberdeen the 2014 victory is their only piece of silverware this century. How much does that add to what both teams are aiming for today?
Listen, it's massive to a Rangers perspective, you know, like to go that 13 seasons without kind of lifting this trophy is actually just not acceptable, you know. And this is where this team, this manager, have got to find a way to put in sustained success into that Rangers trophy room. There's no getting away from it. Gordon says it demands, that's the demands of any Rangers manager, any Rangers squad. On an Aberdeen side, you know, this presents the opportunity that you were talking about. These are your best moments for actually winning any kind of silverware as a cup competition, where maybe one of the old firm get knocked out and you've maybe got a clearer pathway to the final, you know. So for both teams, it'll be monumental for them to be lifting this cup.
And for Aberdeen, Gordon?
Oh, for Aberdeen, Gordon, I played in the 80s when Aberdeen came here under Alex Ferguson and dominated this stadium against Rangers and Celtic. So it's so, so important for them, because they look at themselves as a massive club, and they are a big, big club, there's no doubt about that. But you're only judged on silverware, and they'll be looking to add to that today.
The teams are in the tunnel, a shake of hands between Barry Robson and Philippe Clement, who's gone for the club-issue baseball cap to protect the head from the rain. We've all been there. Gabriel, tell us who's playing today.
Thanks, Gordon. Rangers make three changes from the brilliant 3-2 win against Real Betis on Thursday night. Dujon Sterling is the headline. He comes in to start in midfield. So the team is as follows. Jack Butland in goal. A defence of James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Leon Balogun and Borna Barisic. John Lundstrom is in the middle with Dujon Sterling. Ross McCausland will play on one wing with Abdul Asima on the other. Todd Cantwell plays behind Cyril Dessers up top. Barry Robson's side, a fantastic 2-0 win against Eintracht Frankfurt just a few days ago. He makes eight changes from Thursday, with only three players keeping their place. They stick with their usual 5-3-2 formation. It'll be Kelleroos in goal, a defence of Nicky Devlin, Stefan Gartenmann, Slobodan Rubicic, Richard Jensen and Johnny Hayes. Graham Shinney and Leighton Clarkson will be in the middle of the park, with Jamie McGrath just in front of them. Esther Sockler partners Bijan Miovski up front, Gordon.
A quite spectacular pyrotechnic show in the Rangers' end. The debate about whether that is or is not acceptable can wait for another day. It is certainly catching the eye inside Hampden, flashing constantly to our left. The Aberdeen fans hold up their display with one or two shining red lights in there as well. Both sets of players are on the pitch. The pre-match handshakes are done. The pre-match tracksuit tops are coming off, and that means it is almost showtime. It's almost as if the rain has paid attention as well. It has stopped just in time for kickoff. The skies above Hampden are dark, the pitch is magnificent, and as you can hear, the roof is just about coming off this play. Both these sets of players know how important today is. Both of these managers know how important today is for Aberdeen. They've got to many cup finals and semi-finals in recent seasons, but just that one trophy to show for it this century. Can Barry Robson add to that trophy cabinet this afternoon, and in doing so, lift his first ever piece of silverware as a manager? And for Rangers, well, the burden perhaps is even greater. A club that is simply expected to win silverware and win it regularly. That has not been the case for far too many seasons as far as these Rangers fans are concerned, and there is a huge chance for them, in their eyes, to put that right this afternoon. The captains are in the middle, Graham Shinney and James Tavernier, shaking hands, exchanging pendants. The man in the middle today is going to be Don Robertson. His afternoon will be determined in many ways by how many calls we receive about him on Clyde One Super Scoreboard in the coming days, but we are almost underway. Gordon Dale, how is this one going to finish?
I think it's going to be a terrific game. I think we're going to get plenty of goals. I think the pitch plays right into the hand of the strikers and midfielders, Gordon. I'm going for a narrow Rangers win, 2-1.
Kenny Miller.
Hugh stole my prediction. I gave it to Gordon literally 2 minutes before Hugh went, so I agree with him. I'm going 3-1 Rangers.
Leighton Clarkson is over the ball, and we are almost underway. It's the 2023 League Cup final. It's Rangers against Aberdeen.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Make your life that little bit easier. Use their free prescription delivery.
Well, what an atmosphere it sounds at Hampden ahead of this one. Aberdeen kick things off at the National Stadium. Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, to take you through the first half on what should be a brilliant, brilliant day of football. Hopefully, Mark Wilson, we got a prediction from Hugh Keevans before.
Yeah.
What about yourself?
I think it'll be tight. I agree with Daz. I think there'll be goals. Well, I think all the guys said there'll be goals in it for either side. I think this one will be 1-1. I think it will go the full way, but I think Rangers will pip it an extra time, much like the last final where I was there, Andrew, and they did the same to me, unbelievably.
Now there you have four people who have come up with four. Well, Kenny and me are in agreement, 3-1 for Rangers, but the Dazzler saw it as 2-1, and Mark Wilson sees it as being even tighter than that. So you know, you get all those shades of opinion. But if you played 69 times for Scotland and you've been a cup winner with Rangers and you agree with me, I've got to back Kenny Miller all the way.
Well, Gordon was mentioning there, you know, the debate over pyrotechnics can wait for another day. It certainly clouded the view a wee bit at Hampden at the moment. There's a sort of smoky vibe to it all in the
what
early
need
stages.
To get, Andrew, is some of the extractor fans that you've got above your cooker, because every cup final we're now seeing at Hampden. When you're
I do think it always
pictures,
looks worse on TV,
yeah,
in fairness.
Yeah. In pictures, it looks particularly bad. It's starting to clear a bit now, and the game will settle pretty quickly. But look, the guys were talking about the weather conditions today and what that does for a game. I just think it speeds up. Remember being back at Hampden, Celtic v Inverness, a roasting hot day in May for in the start of June for the Scottish Cup final. And it was very slow, very pedestrian. The pitch was sticky. These conditions allow it to be a much quicker, sharper game that players like playing in.
Yeah, well, Rangers attacking first. It's across from James Tavernier that's headed away by one of the three Aberdeen central defenders. Rangers will have a tough task getting through them, as Eintracht Frankfurt did at the weekend. But I think the one standout position in the Rangers side that we were mentioning earlier on, Dujon Sterling, it is a big game for him today. Tested out in that central midfield position in the second half of the game against Real Betis, showed up well in that one, but a very different game today, and a lot, well, I was going to say a lot more at stake. There was a lot at stake on Thursday night as well.
One of those decisions where you have to trust in managerial judgment. Now, Philippe Clement has had 13 games. He's won 10 of them and drawn 3. And therefore, his managerial judgment has so far been shown to be overwhelmingly correct. So I'm sure Dujon Sterling will justify his manager's decision. The two games that Aberdeen and Rangers have played this season are characterised by Aberdeen scoring first. And I think it's important for them today that Rangers, who are on the front foot early on, don't get an early goal, which I think could seriously unsettle Barry Robson's side.
I think John Lundstrom's lucky to get away with that yellow card there. He's come right through the back of McGrath. You know, they're only 30 yards from Aberdeen's goal. However, no way he's going to get the ball there. He gives away the foul. I think he's lucky to get away without a yellow.
Is that one of those, whether it's right or wrong, it's so early into the game that Don Robertson has a big decision to make to kind of set the tone for the game and how he's going to referee it?
Yeah, he's probably looking at the conditions and historical games between both sides and know it's going to be a feisty encounter. Maybe just doesn't want to flash the cards, but like a yellow card's a yellow card. So Lundstrom, a wee bit fortunate. And that's going to be such a crucial area of the pitch today. Lundstrom, Kenny touched on it, you know, he's been playing well recently and he's had to play well because everybody else around about him is dropping out of the side, and Todd Cantwell's certainly out of form. Lammers just ahead of him, out of form. So he's been the standout. But when he's got Sterling in there beside him, he's going to have to be the voice to drag him about, to keep him beside him, because Clarkson, Shinney, McGrath, very good operators in there.
How tough is it to settle in these early stages of a cup final? Because there'll be so much going through the players' minds. The managers will want the players to maybe get their foot on the ball, show a bit of composure. But is it tough to do that when the atmosphere is cranked up, when there is so much at stake in a game?
I think you're acutely aware that, you know, you just don't want to make a mistake in the opening stages of these games. You sometimes play a bit safe. You look for the easy pass just to ease your way into the game, particularly when conditions are like this. And you're right to say the atmosphere played in the final, well, the last one Rangers won, of course, Celtic Rangers, the atmosphere is great, and you just want to be, you know, on the right side of things as the game's building up. It's slightly different when you're playing against lesser opposition, of course, because you've got more freedom. But Aberdeen Rangers players, you can quite easily see in these 5 minutes, they're just easing their way in. No real great pace to the game just now, but that'll be the case. Nobody will want to make a mistake.
Yeah, one of those moments evident there as Johnny Hayes went to try and play a long ball forward towards Bojan Miovski, but just got it completely wrong, got way too much on it and bounced through to Jack Butland.
And Johnny Hayes has arguably more experience than anyone on the park of these occasions with both Celtic and Aberdeen. So, you know, it's a misplaced pass. There's no point in trying to read too much into it. Misplaced passes happen. Mark Wilson had one or two.
More than one or two, I'll tell you that, especially in these occasions. But I think you can quite clearly see, you know, the lineups against each other, fascinating, different styles. Aberdeen just conceding a free kick, good play from Seema there on the right hand side. So first opportunity might go to Rangers here, Andrew.
I think he was a bit theatrical with his fall, was he not, Seema?
Perhaps, but I do think it's a foul. Yeah,
yeah,
I think
Gartman,
it does.
Just Gartman, stepping across Abdallah Seema there. It is down in the corner. You'd expect it would be James Tavernier with an in-swinger here to try and unsettle Aberdeen in their 6 yard box, or there or thereabouts anyway.
Of course, you'd just try and put this right across the face. I think Aberdeen may defend this like a corner where they might have a man in that front area anyway. Yeah, they've got a couple there. Actually, Kelleher-Roux going for a two-man wall. Miovski in there alongside Clarkson. So he obviously knows that Tavernier's got the ability to actually go for goal here. If he's not got that two-man wall there, Tavernier can easily just bounce that in front of him. And off this slick surface, it would cause problems. Tavernier actually going away now.
It's a sort of Scott McTominay against Spain type of region, isn't it? It's Borna Barisic with the ball in, headed away. There's a chance at the edge of the box for Dujon Sterling, deflected over the bar, and it will be a Rangers corner.
What a start that might have been for Dujon Sterling. Yeah. But clear that Rangers mean business straight away.
I think he catches this well here. About 20 yards out, just bounced up nicely. Good connection with Aberdeen. Lots of bodies in there just to block it. So, yeah, swinging in Rangers' favour just now. Set piece fall by a corner kick. So Aberdeen just don't want to get camped in there too early on in the game.
Yeah, you see Goldson and Balogun there, the camera focusing on them as the ball comes in. It's actually flicked towards goal, and Aberdeen eventually deal with it after it bounced right in the middle of their 6 yard box.
What, listen, the Rangers do well to keep that alive, but what was Dessers doing there? The Dessers stops. I thought Dessers was just going to spin and put that in. Oh, okay, there's just a slight deflection.
It's a brilliant touch, isn't
it? Yeah, a brilliant touch away. I didn't see that in real time. I just saw Dessers had to swivel from 3 yards out and put it into the net, but it's a great intervention from the Aberdeen defender.
But they are an Aberdeen defence under pressure straight away. And I think Philippe Clement, you know, we were talking about Braveheart speeches and so on in the, before the game started, but I think Clement doesn't do Mel Gibson. I think he's too astute and experienced a manager for that. And he just puts good ideas into the players' heads and they're trying to execute them now.
Yeah, well, it's interesting how the game is panning out. Rangers try to swarm over Aberdeen. Now, Aberdeen, any time they get the ball, in these opening 8 minutes, direct. Trying to go direct to Miofsky and Sokler up there, who are left 2 for 2. So, no intention really of playing round about. You see Devlin get the ball again. He's looking to put that down the side there. But Rangers try to build, Aberdeen trying direct.
It's funny, Dessers had a shocking touch there when he... terrific pass played to him. He's a frustrating player. You know, again, midweek, how good was Dessers' goal? You know, fantastic. And there, you know, he just lets the ball run away from him.
When was the last time you saw that, Hugh, in a cup final? From a Rangers manager, the skip cap.
Ooh.
Ever?
No, never.
What about a trilby? Did I know you used to wear trilbies back then?
Scott Simon in the 60s would have had a trilby, yes.
Speaking of cup final
Jimmy
attire.
Had a trilby.
Speaking of cup final attire, we saw in the pre-match interviews the Aberdeen suits that had the quite often the flower, was it the boutonniere it's called, that's the flower on the lapel of the suit jacket. It was quite a big flower though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's an old cup final tradition both in Scotland and in England, but the flowers that Aberdeen have on are preposterously large.
Yeah, too big. Big clown flower.
Did you ever get given any cup final attire special?
We used to get a new suit all the time. So they were Dundee United a couple of times, Celtic. Then we got sunglasses a few times. By the way, I got sunglasses and it was a day like this. We turned up to the cup final.
Did anyone wear them?
No, needless to say, they're all still in the box. But just companies want to, you know, associate their brand.
They weren't like bright orange ones, were they? Ones that you would see someone cutting about with in Holland.
No, they're cool kind of Ray-Ban ones that didn't fit your face, you know. So, but the flowers, getting handed the flower, going on the bus, because that's when you usually get handed it, when you're boarding the coach. The amount of boys, and I include myself in this, who couldn't put the flower on.
So no, there'd be
one
help.
Unlucky member of the coaching staff who was good at it. Usually the goalkeeping coach, can you put my flower on? Next one, can you put the flower on? And all the way through the
tying
squad.
Up all your ties as well, like your first day of school.
Are you telling me that Stevie Woods used to dress you on your way to...
Oh, well, they were all there. Stevie was great at it. Yeah, he's been at a few weddings in his time.
And maybe they do that thing where they would sort of tie the tie on its own and then leave it out there, so all
that's
you needed
you
to
just
do
put it over, your,
put
neck,
it over your neck and you could tighten it yourself.
I'm good at ties, Andrew, but some of the other boys, dreadful. But the Aberdeen ones, not so good. What did Rangers have the big flower on? We didn't see any of their pre-match attire.
I saw Cyril Dessers doing a pre-match interview in his suit, but I didn't see any flower, no.
I think you save the flowers for Scottish Cup Day. I think there's always something better about that. No League Cup Day in a dark December where flowers can't even grow.
You just picture managers sort of doing that run down the stairs from where the dugout is with their suit and the flower on when their team scored.
Aye, well, that's what Barry will be hoping for today.
Well, Abdallah Seymour showing his pace. He's into the Aberdeen box. It's a good block in the end. It will go out for a Rangers throw. But the first real show of pace from Abdallah Seymour to try and get forward in this game so far.
He's done well on two occasions out wide, you know, shown intent. But it's the positives for Aberdeen when they play three at the back with wing backs, that when Gartman gets skipped by, Devlin's the one there recovering, and it's a last ditch tackle, but you can see Seema in Toppy's game just now. You know,
interesting one for Rangers when the time comes. You know, he's on loan from Brighton, cost Brighton a hefty fee. They'll want a hefty fee if they're going to sell him, but he is a tremendous asset for Rangers.
There's always that awkward scenario as well, that the better a player does during his loan spell, the higher his price is then by the end of the loan spell.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to, that's why loan deals have got to be agreed in principle before he kicks a ball for your club. Was it Cameron Carter-Vickers?
Yeah, and Jota as well.
And Jota, a prime example of that. Get it in writing. You know, if there is an option to buy, it's X amount, and they could come and score 100 goals, and the price wouldn't change. So it seems it'll be an interesting one.
It's just not the way Brighton do business, really, because their model is to bring in players really young, loan them out for a season or two, and then they're more often than not
million.
Ready for first team action. So I think that's why they're. There wasn't really a release clause based on that, just in case that.
Well, Seema's doing his chances no harm of going back to Brighton and staying there. And look, as much as we, you know, Celtic, Rangers, huge clubs here on the European front, if you get an opportunity to play for Brighton the way they are in the Premiership, then I think you're taking
last 16 of the Europa League as well, along with Rangers, both seeded. So my lot are looking forward to a Brighton Rangers quarter or semi-final in the Europa League.
Quite interesting to see here where Todd Cantwell is. Yeah, I just wondered if he would hold that middle, that number 10 role, but he's just trying to find any space, so drifting from left to right, almost like a free role when Rangers are in possession. Rangers just have to find him, you know, and get him on the ball, which you try there and failed. Chance for Aberdeen to counter.
Yeah, Cantwell unable to play on Thursday night due to personal reasons, family reasons. He is back in today. Is that a big bonus for Rangers, Sam Lammers?
Well, you're a better player than Lammers for a start.
Clement talked during the week after the game and, you know, commended Sam Lammers on his display, but I think plenty of Rangers fans would rather see Todd Cantwell in that number 10 role than Sam Lammers.
Yeah, quite simply, he's a better player than Sam Lammers, so you want your best players out on the pitch. Aberdeen tried to counter-attack there, but they're finding it difficult.
James Tavernier with the cross into the box. That one is dealt with by Aberdeen, and Rangers get the throw-in on the near side.
Yeah, amazing there, Hugh, from Aberdeen on the counter-attack, because I think it was Jamie McGrathy, a good player who's usually aware of what's round about him. But if he thinks he's going to get that sort of time in a cup final here at Hampden, then he's sorely mistaken. Rangers just pick his pocket, go up the other end and attack Aberdeen themselves.
You know, Rangers once again look the more threatening at the moment out of the two teams, but neither goalkeeper forced to make a save in the opening 15 minutes at Hampden.
Yeah, I would say you're spot on with that, Andrew. Just the areas that Rangers are taking up and getting possession round about the Aberdeen box, and you just wonder, that's an awful one from Cantwell, but you just wonder, you know, if you give James Tavernier too much time to cross, like we've seen, he's put in two or three balls, or Seema too much time to square you up as a defender, you're going to concede chances.
Is it too early to try the old behavioural psychologist trick that Aberdeen are finding it harder on the big occasion than Rangers are? Rangers look more confident.
You'd expect Rangers to have more of the ball, though. I don't think either team have really done enough to be able to say that it's swinging in
analogy there. Rangers players are just better players than Aberdeen. They should be better in this occasion.
As James Tavernier gives the ball away once again, Aberdeen with a chance to try and break into the Rangers half, but it's easily cut out by Conor Goldson.
Well, I don't know if Rangers are pressing well or Aberdeen are just so poor in possession.
There's a Rangers player down as well.
Down,
I think it's
time,
Cyril Dessers, who I think Rangers will eventually put the ball out of play so that he can be looked at. I think the last thing Rangers need, though, is another injury, and certainly one in those forward areas. Danilo is out now for a good few months.
It's a strong tackle.
Yeah, Slobodan Rubicic just coming through the back of Cyril Dessers. Did win the ball in the same challenge, but Dessers did feel that one.
Rubicic doesn't need too many invites to come through the back of you, and it was just borderline on the side. He does get the ball, but as a sore one, you certainly know you're in a game. If you're a big powerful centre forward, I think that plays into Rubicic's hands. I think he enjoys the battle. He's peripheral vision. Somebody, isn't the best when he sees people coming from either side of him.
Somebody's having a word in the referee's ear. I just wonder if he's about to look at something again.
It certainly wouldn't be between that incident between Slobodan Ribasic and Cyril Dessers. There wasn't a whole lot in that. I think play will continue.
Well, the Rangers players put the ball in, they're just, I think Clarkson's going to
rightly
give the ball back.
But
good sportsmanship.
Just as long as there's not a sort of Malik Tillman, Partick Thistle incident. Imagine that in a cup final. It was bad enough in the early rounds of a cup.
From time to time, the Rangers fans saying, "Remember, Michael Beale allowed this," so they don't quickly forget that, do they?
Well, that was one of the things that made the Rangers fans think we don't want him. I honestly believe that his downfall, that was a contributory factor.
It's one of those things that I think can swing either way. If a manager goes on to be a success, people then look at it and think, oh, what a fantastic thing this manager we like did at this point. But maybe a chance for Rangers here. Dujon Sterling at the edge of the box, crossed in low by Ross McCausland, dealt with by Aberdeen. But yeah, I think it's one of those things that, because football is so tribal at times, that if it's a figure that the fans like and continue to like, they'll say, well, what a fantastic decision. If then they are frustrated with the manager and don't like him, they can then use it as a stick to beat him with.
I always remember the first call Monday evening on Super Scoreboard, the day after the Malik Tillman incident, and it was a Rangers fan to say, I'm no big on this integrity stuff. And he spoke for probably every Rangers and Celtic supporter you've ever met.
I'm trying to work out Aberdeen's tactics here, because usually you can quite clearly see out of possession what you're trying to do. And I'm watching Miofsky and Sokler allowing Goldson just to walk past him with the ball in possession. Then he passes it into midfield, and Clarkson and McGrath's nowhere near any midfielder. And then it gets up to Seaman. That seems like they start pressing a bit there. And then they win the ball back, probably through Rangers being careless in possession. But Aberdeen are even worse. They try to play Miofsky straight away, and not once have they put it in behind where probably they've worked on. Everything's cut out. So I think for this opening 20 minutes, although it's 0-0, Barry Robson's got to be disappointed with his side. We're seeing again Rangers, look, no press at all there. It's really poor from Sterling
passing the ball straight out the park. That maybe just highlights the lack of quality there has been in this game so far in the opening 19 and a half,
Derek
20
Adams.
Minutes.
Big Derek Adams here. Slaughtering the game.
I think the belated
wouldn't
goal,
see Morecambe doing that, would you?
The belated goal that Dundee
times
scored,
than this.
Yeah, I think that just completely wrecked Derek's day, and he came out to the press when he should have taken time to calm down.
Yeah, I'm sure we will hear a lot more about that in the coming week or
sure.
So I'm not sure there was the chance to really talk about it on Super Scoreboard yesterday, just because it had happened just as we'd gone on air. What did you make of it, Hugh? Derek Adams' comments.
I thought it was an ill-judged thing to say, because he took the whole game in Scotland down with him, and I think because of his disappointment, as Aberdeen nearly had their first shot at goal there, and Butland has his first, if you can call it a save. I think Derek just let his disappointment get the better of him. It was best not said at all, and you rightly highlight the comment about Morecambe being 100 times better than the teams in the Scottish Premiership. Well, I mean, that is quite simply a stupid thing to say.
I mean, this is a guy who left Morecambe, actively chose to leave Morecambe to go to Ross County, and right, only a few weeks afterwards is saying it. You can see why people have been a bit critical about the way he's gone about things.
Without doubt. I mean, I'm all for managers and honesty and refreshing comments rather than the same old scripted answers that we always hear or always used to hear. But that was just too far, you know, especially when you're just into a club. But Hugh's right, he's you know, branded the full of kind of Scottish football is a poor standard. But if you're trying to attract players in January to help you out the position you're in and try to get people to maybe buy season tickets for the second half of the season, how do you attract then? Hugh's right, it should have taken time to walk away. take 5 minutes and then reassess his thoughts.
Derek is also saying it on a week where Rangers have beaten Real Betis, Celtic have beaten Feyenoord, yeah, Aberdeen have beaten Eintracht Frankfurt. Yeah. Not a bad showing during the week.
Derek as a player was extremely touchy. You know, I am old enough to remember post-match conversations when, you know, some players, if you suggest that they might not have been scintillating during the match, they just don't take it well, and he was one of those. But the comments yesterday afternoon were simply misguided, best left alone, and make him look ridiculous.
Well, back to today's action. Just over 22 minutes gone at Hampden in the Viaplay Cup final between Rangers and Aberdeen. No real goalmouth action to tell you about. A foul in the Aberdeen half by Stephen Gartman there on Abdallah Seema, but Rangers just taking the free kick short and looking to build from the back.
Well, Don Robertson obviously happy to keep his cards in his pocket there, because I said about Lundstrom earlier, Shinney had another one, maybe just mistimed that one, but then Devlin on Seema kicked right round the side. It was a sore one, but Don Robertson just, you know, taking his time, chatting to the players, letting them go with it. You know, sensible.
I think it's going to take a goal for either side to focus minds here, as another foul is committed by Johnny Hayes. If we've been brutally honest, we've had a quarter of the game. Neither goalkeeper has been properly tested, if at all. And the final has yet to rise to the occasion.
The guys at the game were talking about the weather conditions not being great. I think Gordon Dale maybe mentioned the pitch looking good, but I don't think it's showing up well, is it? It looks as if it's cutting up quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. How many times do we say that about this Hampden surface? But it does look patchy in places. The guys will be able to tell us more there. It's obviously going to be slippy underfoot with the amount of rain it's fell overnight. But look, the players... get to sound like Derek Adams here. Players need to serve up better.
Here we are. Ooh.
Yeah, well, Johnny Hayes just with the safe header back over his own head for Rangers corner as the deep cross came in from the left.
McCausland just behind Johnny Hayes. I'm just thinking that McCausland, if Rangers are to win this game today, he's got himself a winner's medal in record time. You know, he's had hardly any games for Rangers. If he were a cup winner,
13 appearances, I think, in the first team. Yeah. Not bad that, eh?
James Tavernier, both hands up as the signal as he takes this outswinging corner once again, headed away by a red shirt.
When you look at Aberdeen, you really shouldn't lose a goal at a set piece, because they are robust, they're big, they're aggressive, they're well organised usually. So, you know, Rangers might have to come up with something a wee bit different to break that.
Not often that a team's biggest aerial threat is a winger. You would say that Abdallah Seema probably is the player that you'd would be most likely to score a header for Rangers as the ball comes in towards Ross McCausland, who's probably the least likely.
Yeah. By the way, I was surprised by Seema. I have been surprised by Seema. I thought he was a bit of a slow starter when he came to Rangers, and I thought, is he going to be one that just falls out the side?
Because he certainly... Ibrox against PSV had a really tough 44 minutes in the first half of that game, and looked as if he was maybe going to be taken off at half time, and then stuck one in the top corner and went on a bit of a run from there.
Goes to show you, it's just moments in games that go your way just spark your season. I think from then on he's been in the team more often than not, but certainly Rangers' biggest goal threat, playing from that wide area, but tries to join Dessers as much as he can. And a danger from cross balls. Not many wingers we can see that getting at the back post and is a real threat. But Rangers just not been able to utilise that yet. I was talking about Tavernier having a few crosses early on, but that's even dried up. We're 25 minutes in and both teams struggling to keep possession.
Do you think there's any question of Rangers, given the state of the weather? It's only 3 days since they were playing Real Betis. You know, it's,
I think they're too cold.
No,
it was hot in Spain.
You know, given that you're Thursday night, you get Friday and Saturday off, and you're back into it now.
So were Aberdeen, though.
Only Aberdeen?
I said,
no,
Aberdeen.
Aberdeen played on Thursday night as well.
Against Frankfurt. Rangers, of course, had the travel and what have you, and Aberdeen rested plenty of players.
3 hours in a plane. This man here, if he's made it and in sparkling form, surely the Rangers players can.
What a chance for Aberdeen. That one Goldson. Was blocked by Conor Goldson, and Aberdeen having to go all the way back to the halfway line to restart this attack.
So Hugh, I mean, taking that away, both teams, I know Barry probably changed more of his side on that occasion, but Frankfurt,
I think only three three players have remained from the starting 11, yeah. Which just goes to show how good a result it was on Thursday night.
But it goes to show you what a good squad Aberdeen have got, and they should not be where they are in the league. So Hugh was right in terms of this cup final. If he wins it, fantastic, he's in the history books. But if he doesn't, fans will quickly say, right, the cup final's out the way, you've now got that to cling on to. What about this magnificent squad we've got and where we are in the league?
Well, Rangers haven't made the most of their corners, can Aberdeen? Johnny Hayes with the delivery, it's actually flicked into a dangerous area, but Rangers get the free kick at the front post. James Tavernier fouled.
I think that's the correct decision. I think Soccer just tries to get across Tavernier, who's that front man. He just, you know, leans into him with a shoulder, enough to put Tavernier down. But there's a shirt pull we're seeing. Slowed down in Cantwell. The difference, I believe, in that is the Aberdeen player's not getting near the ball.
Yeah, whether the attacking player is likely to get to the ball or not, the ball wasn't going in the direction of the shirt pull, but essentially.
Even at that, Cantwell, why do players do it
is the big question, isn't it? When you know VAR is there, you know that it is getting picked up on. Is it just this thing that's in the conscious of that they do subconsciously just because they're so used to doing it?
It is hard to describe that, because why would Cantwell want to be pulling a shirt there when the Aberdeen player's practically walking away from him? He's not even sprinting away or in any danger of getting the ball, but he still pulls him. Silly.
Dujon Sterling in a crossing position. That one loops up and into the arms of Kel Roos, but he's out of play. It will be another Rangers corner.
Johnny Hayes just take that off the face. We're just seeing the Cantwell one again there. But
yeah, it definitely has a fistful of Gartenman's shirt. But as you say, the difference really is whether Stefan Gartenman is getting to the ball or not. And he wasn't anywhere near the delivery at that point. But that is what referees are sort of instructed to look at.
But just to take a fistful of his jersey at any point,
you're taking a big risk, because you don't know where the ball is going to end up as well.
Yeah, but I mean, if nothing else happens in this first half, you can imagine, you know, everyone jumping in that, you know, with the amount of shirt pulls that we've seen recently, you know, some given.
Once again, Aberdeen have a chance to attack. Johnny Hayes steps over the ball makes the wrong decision.
What is he thinking there? It was a great opportunity for Aberdeen to break. Sterling was looking for a foul, but here come Rangers actually.
Yeah, every time Aberdeen have tried to cross the halfway line, their attacks have broken down. Are Rangers able to do anything? It's a lovely turn at the edge of the box by Abdallah Sima, and the shot is held by Kel Roos.
Well, that's the first heart-stopping moment of the game for me. And it's a terrific turn and shot by Sima, and a good confident save by Kel Roos in the Aberdeen goal.
That's what I was talking about there, Andrew, that Sima looks to get in touch with Essers, and have you seen that there when the ball was just been shaped into him? He's right beside Dessers. It's a fantastic touch right in the centre of the goal, and he just couldn't get enough purchase on it to trouble Roos. But a good move from Rangers, but all comes through Aberdeen so poor in possession, where they get a 3-on-2. I don't know why Johnny Hayes steps over the ball, because it's never getting there out to Leighton Clarkson.
They just don't seem to be in sync, really, that Aberdeen forward line at the moment.
No, it's not happening for them. And Johnny Hayes, I say, vastly experienced player, but it's the decision making that's let them down.
The front line for Aberdeen has been an interesting one this season for me, because no doubt Miovski should play, great player, and done very well here in this country, but Barry always seems to go for Soccer over Duke, and every time I've saw Duke, he just looks like a real threat with pace. And I'm thinking, on this big pitch where there's loads of space, if Duke would have been the better option.
Yeah, Graham Shinney, we knew what he was doing there. Just barges into the back of Todd Cantwell as a high ball came towards them. It will be a free kick to Rangers on about the halfway line.
Catches him with an elbow there, just in the back of the head, Shinney. And
Don Robertson's certainly doing his level best not to produce a card.
He is.
Because that for me is a straightforward card.
Yeah, that's a sore one from Cantwell. You know, not really knowing what's behind him. Shinney comes in quite aggressive into the back there.
Yeah, the relevant checks will be done on Todd Cantwell. As we see it again, it's the left elbow. It sort of bounces off the top of Cantwell's back and then onto his sort of neck, bottom of the back of his head area.
Again, you know, it's a stupid thing to do on the part of Shinney, because there are so many cameras on you. You're going to get caught, and he's not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, he's trying to protest his innocence, I think, to Don Robertson. John Lundstrom just trying to move him away from the referee as Todd Cantwell has continued to give a bit of treatment.
Now, I mean, Shinny is 100% guilty, and the cameras have caught him. So what he's protesting about, I would not pretend to know. And now Philippe Clement is having a word with the fourth official. He could see it from where he was. So again, you know, you cannot hope to get away with this stuff because there are too many cameras on you.
Well, Todd Cantwell is up and moving again. He'll go off after getting treatment, not go off in terms of being substituted just off to the side of the pitch before he's allowed back on. Rangers will have the free kick in the centre circle.
Yeah, I don't think there's any danger of it being anything other than a yellow card if it was produced.
Yeah.
But he's lucky to get away without a yellow card in that one. Campbell's up on his feet, he'll come back on, so no harm to him. But Lundstrom's still protesting to the referee.
Well, Lundstrom would be best to step away because he was the first one that should have been yellow carded, but yeah, he got away with it too. So maybe Don Robertson, maybe that's his style. He's a former professional footballer himself. So
is he really?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Good to play for.
I knew you were going to say that and I can't remember.
Andrew.
But he is.
Andrew will know. Andrew knows everything.
Well,
I'll kill time, Andrew, until you can think who it's. Don Robertson, an ex-professional footballer.
Sure,
what age must
that
he be about then? He must be, well, he's older than me. I'm thinking Queen's Park, Partick Thistle, St Mirren.
Almost as if a producer has just said that in your ear there.
What? No way. I got that by myself.
Yeah, Partick Thistle, Queen's Park and St Mirren. I'm not sure. 36.
Don Robertson's 36?
Don Robertson is 36, born in 1987.
Way. There's no way he's younger than me. That's amazing. He must have had a tough time at Thistle.
Can't believe you didn't fancy going into refereeing after your football career, Mark.
By the way, it pays well. I should have. I would like to see more ex-players in the game. More young players who get released.
Former Celtic and Rangers players could not be referees here.
I don't think so here. That'd be a difficult one.
Cyril Desser's trying to take the ball under control at the edge of the Aberdeen box. Unable to. The ball just being headed around between both Aberdeen and Rangers players. Ross McCausland with a really good cross into the box, did well just to keep it in play, but not only that, put it into a dangerous area.
I think it just trickled over the line. I thought the young man had done well to keep that in and put it into right in the middle of the 6 yard box. But it's untidy, it's scrappy, probably more so from Aberdeen, but Rangers haven't been sparkling either. And I think the guys alluded to that at the beginning of the show when Gordon was saying that although Rangers under Clement are getting results and some standout results in there, there's not been many performances that you've went, yeah, they were really on it there. This has been another 30 odd minutes of that, but still plenty of time to turn it round for both.
I'm not sure Don Robertson actually made any professional appearances. There's a quote from him saying, "I started refereeing when I was 17, and before that I had a not very distinguished playing career at Partick Thistle, Queen's Park and St Mirren." So maybe banded about the youth systems as the ball gets crossed into the Rangers box, the Aberdeen box, Ross McCausland unable to get a clean header on it.
Well, I think the young man does well to get in at the back post there, but not the service I think he expects today. I think when Philippe Clement puts him in the side, it's to get the ball to his feet and allow him to run at Jensen or Johnny Hayes on that left-hand side. And I don't think we've ever seen him receiving the ball to feet. And that's been a problem for Rangers. Maybe give credit to Aberdeen, because maybe that's the game plan. Put everything through the middle channel and shut off Seema and shut off McCausland, because we've never really seen any. Well, Seema in the opening exchanges, you know, jumped past Gartnerman. But apart from that, there's been nothing from the Rangers wideman.
Well, as a cup final, as a spectacle, it still has a way to go yet. We've had that Seema turn and shot saved by Kel Roos, but too little goalmouth action for a cup final.
I'm looking at Aberdeen there, and just no cohesion between the side there. Sockler gets the ball, and I don't know any player on this planet that could play the pass that he thought he could there. He's trying to chip that over Barisic, Balogun, and let it stop for Devlin to go on to it. And he should just be keeping possession. So really poor. Actually, he's done well, Devlin, to win a corner, but still poor in possession from Aberdeen.
Yeah, well, there have been quite a few corners for both sides so far, but I'm not sure really that the attacking side has even made the first contact on any of them or many of them. Leighton Clarkson to deliver this one for Barry Robson's side. Right footed, it is headed towards the Rangers goal, but it's out for a goal kick. Stephen Gartman was the one that put it goalwards.
Kiel, the production team and the TV company, is just going over the rerun to see who's got a hold of whose shirt in that box. They must have made their job particularly hard now, because I have to scroll over this all set pieces, see who's got a hold of who.
It's never our priority, football down south. Manchester United against Liverpool later on, though, and captaining Manchester United today at Anfield.
Will we Scott McTominay.
Really?
Yep. What a turnaround that is,
It's another sort of just milestone in his resurgence at club level, isn't it?
He's the only shining light that Erik Ten Hag has. I mean, but for his goals, Ten Hag would be in even deeper trouble than the trouble he's in right now. And that is considerable, because I think he'll take a hiding today.
Every chance of it. Rangers with a set piece here, Tavernier.
Yeah, about 40, 45 yards from Phil Clement, still in the ear of the fourth official about something. But James Tavernier will take the deep free kick.
Yeah. Aberdeen just taking the line off their 18 yard box. Retreated in now.
Corner.
Yeah, good header from Rubizic. It's a decent ball in from Tavernier. At least he puts it into an area that Aberdeen have to defend. It, he doesn't hit the first man. Rubizic always going backwards, so the only purchase he's going to get in that is to flick it behind for a corner, and you keep the attack alive.
Well, what's that, about 38 and a half minutes gone at the National Stadium? Hasn't been a classic League Cup final as of yet, but both teams will be hoping that someone can step up and make themselves a hero.
Well, every
plenty
set
of
piece,
time for that.
Every set piece is a potential danger for a either side here. Both thrown in again.
Great ball.
Good ball in by Barisic, the second time of asking. It's James Tavernier who clips one in. Abdallah Seema up with a header. It's Ross McCausland who puts it in, but the free kick has already been given, and the whistle was blown before the ball hit the back of the net. So I don't think VAR, just making sure that the whistle had already gone, but VAR can't intervene on that occasion.
Well, we've not seen a replay yet, but it did look like the Aberdeen players had stopped before the ball touched McCausland's foot. Good finish for the young man at the back post. But we're just seeing it now. Is it for a head knock? Oh, it's a head knock on, is it Devlin?
Nicky
the
Devlin.
Back post. Is it an elbow?
I don't think it's a clash of heads. It's an elbow onto head.
Onto head, yeah. So is it Devlin that's down?
Yeah, Nicky Devlin it is. I think either way, it is a head knock in a crowded area, so the game does need to be stopped at that point to make sure that he's okay. I think it is going to be a yellow card. We'll just check it is for Abdallah Seema for that challenge. It may well have been someone else being booked for
dissent. It's Lundstrom for dissent, I think.
Both?
I think referees tend to do that. If there is sort of mobbing of the referee and a lot of people round and there's a few pushes here and there, that the referee just kind of takes one player from each team and books them. But yeah, I mean, Abdallah Seema gets up, wins the header, but his arm is goes into the head, the face of Nicky Devlin.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. He gets up well, but yeah, his left arm certainly catches Devlin there. And just as well, because when it fell to McCausland, great composure just to slot it in at Keller Roos's front post. But Devlin just getting back to his feet now, so looks like he'll be able to continue.
John Lundstrom and Esther Sockler, the two booked by referee Don Robertson after the debate that happened between some of the players afterwards. I mean, Ross McCausland, I think for a split second in his head, must have thought that he'd had himself a cup final goal.
Yeah,
he still has. I'd still be claiming that, Andrew. I'd be telling everybody, well, I did score. Technically, I scored. Yeah. Bit like myself in the Scottish Cup final 2011.
Right now, Mark Wilson is edging out in front in the prediction stakes here, because he's gone 1-1 with extra time to follow. And
well, I don't know about that, Hugh. Haven't seen Aberdeen for 41 minutes any time they go up the pitch. I'm not too confident they're going to score now, unless they can string a few passes. Look, so they've had a few set pieces, but that's about it.
If you're Barry Robson, I mean, obviously he'd like Aberdeen to score, but would you settle for 0-0 half time, get them in and
Well, of course you would, but a big complaint about the Aberdeen side this season from their own fans has been the style of football and how they go from back to front, and they tend just to miss out their good players in the middle of the pitch. And I think that's been the case today as well, that when you're playing against Cantwell and Sterling in there, who's untried Sterling, there's opportunities to play around about them, and they've went direct constantly and had no quality. But I think that's a theme, Hugh, all season. The Aberdeen fans haven't been happy with it. So look, 0-0 will be a positive, I think, going in at half time, but they want a bit more creativity in the second half.
It's good work in midfield there by Dujon Sterling to win the ball back for Rangers and then win the foul. But as you say, that Jamie McGrath and Leighton Clarkson, two very good technical players in that midfield that maybe just aren't being given the tools to be able to create in there at the moment.
No, not at all. I don't think Aberdeen have even attempted to play through them, and any ball that has fallen to them, I don't think they've actually done very well with it. McGrath in the first, you know, 10 minutes dilly-dallying with it and get robbed of possession. So look, the players have to take responsibility as well as the manager for his tactics. But look, a couple of minutes to go, it's not looking likely any team will score. So Barry, being the underdog, will be happiest, I guess, to go in there 0-0. I think Philippe Clement want his side to have created a few more better opportunities than they have done, because it's again been a bit pedestrian. You know, centre backs a lot of the ball, not really seen Cantwell getting involved in that number 10 role,
as he just takes a poor touch there and lets Aberdeen get back on the ball.
Well, you know, no player has stood out so far, so it'd be wrong to focus on Cantwell. He's just one of several who have not yet come onto a game.
I think there we are, McGrath again. I think it's right though to focus on the players who have got the talent and the ability to light this game up, and they've certainly not done that, McGrath and Cantwell, in this opening 45 minutes. Here's McCausland, first time we've really seen him getting the ball to his feet. Will he be positive? Nope. Safe option back to Tavernier.
I was going to dust off the old cliche book there and say it's a good time to score, it's a bad time to concede, but it just doesn't really look like either team are capable of doing that at the moment. However,
I thought you'd done a me there.
I mean, James Tavernier looked as if he was maybe being played through into the box, but just couldn't get the ball under control. And a lot of players are struggling with their first touch. It's either just getting away from them a wee bit, not getting the ball under control. Don't know whether that's just the surface, the conditions, it's windy,
the occasion. Mm-hmm. You know, nerve-wracking for both sets. Aberdeen players can go into the history books, Rangers well aware of the pressure that lies on their shoulders.
James Tavernier with the corner, we've got the second attempt to deliver it with his right foot this time. It's a bit deeper, headed towards goal by Leon Balogun, but it bounces easily out for an Aberdeen goal kick with just a few seconds left of the regulation 45.
Well, there'll be minutes added on because we've had the head knocks to deal with. Just depends on how many minutes are added on. But you'd have to be brutally honest and say that there are four added on. As a cup final, it has yet to become a spectacle.
I take Rangers, it the wind's playing a big part. Because a couple of the set pieces, Barisic has won, then looked caught in the wind and held up at the front post. Tavernier's delivery there, you could clearly see, starts at the 6 yard line but then whips all the way out. So maybe that's a factor today in a wide open stadium. There's not much protection.
Yeah, you could see as the players were leaving the tunnel to come out onto the pitch, they had the trophy sat on its plinth, and you could see the ribbons on it were flying everywhere. It certainly looks as if it is a windy day, and in a stadium like that, it will just be swirling around.
Yeah, you know, it's Scotland in December. You know, it's never going to resemble Madrid in December. So you just have to get on with the conditions. And at the moment, the players are struggling to rise above the conditions.
Aberdeen with a free kick out on the right-hand side, about 35 yards out, Leighton Clarkson
ball
with the delivery, and it is flicked on towards Jack Butland's goal. It was Stephen Gartman who got the touch, but Jack Butland knew that was going wide of the mark.
Well, again, that's the closest down up at that end of the park. Seema closest at the Aberdeen goal, but we're now a minute and a half into the four added on and we are still goalless.
It's a great ball from Clarkson there, and Rangers playing a really high line, try to defend that, gives Aberdeen every opportunity to pile bodies in there, and Gartnerman getting the first contact on it. Looked a lot closer through the wide lens than it did the camera angle from behind the goal.
Todd Cantwell attempting to flick it over into the box. Cyril Dessers manages to hold on to it, and Todd Cantwell looking to get a cross away. Can he do? He does, and the header from Ross McCausland just peeling off the back of Richard Jensen, I think it was, but once again he's just stretching to try and get his head on it, just too high for him.
He's not the guy you want in that position.
Yeah,
but he was always going away from him anyway.
Yeah, he was always stretching backwards. I think Cantwell does well there, because the first opportunity had went there for him to cross it, but when he checked back in, puts it into a good area. You could argue if that's the other side, if that's Seema, who we've chatted about, perhaps could have done better. But McCausland, yeah, it was too high for him to turn goalwards.
Do you think either manager will be thinking of changes in the second half, going into the second half?
And I wouldn't have thought so, because I think they just need a reaction, a positive reaction from the players on the pitch, you know, and ask them to do better in possession. I don't think anybody's had a howler, so to speak, but they could obviously just contribute better to the game. I mean, finals are always edgy affairs, and it's taken that form this afternoon for these 48 minutes. I think we might see a freer, more open game in the second period.
Do you think there is any hangover from the midweek ventures of both teams, or is it more the conditions that are playing their part?
Well, Aberdeen were playing at home, and they had made a lot of changes against the Eintracht Frankfurt. There was more a possibility of Rangers, who were into it for the full 90 minutes against Real Betis and got their reward for that, and then had the journey back home to Glasgow. I just think that the occasion maybe has got to them. Both clubs, the conditions have got to them. They're just trying to rise above it all now.
Well, that's no excuse culture, Hugh, that the Rangers end will be thinking. They won't care about.
No.
Betis the other night.
Well, half time at the National Stadium. Gordon Duncan, Gordon Dalziel, and Kenny Miller are there.
Half time is Rangers 0, Aberdeen 0, and very, very little between the sides in the first 45 minutes. If you were hoping that the eyewitness account was going to bring you more goal scoring chances than the ones you witnessed in the studio, you would be wrong. Very, very little quality on show in the weekend, where Derek Adams had a bit of a pop. I hope he's not watching, because he won't be happy with what he's seen in the first half. A lot of misplaced passes, a lot of mistakes, a lot of nervousness in possession. Is it the conditions? Is it a European hangover? Is it a lack of quality? One thing's for sure, there is very little between the teams. Certainly a frantic pace and an intensity early on, as you would expect. Aberdeen with loads of opportunities to break forward, five inside the first 19 minutes, but it was always that composure, that accuracy of pass, that cutting edge that stopped those breakaways coming to anything. Rangers very slack in possession as they looked to mount attacks. In terms of goal scoring chances, really, really scraping the barrel. Abdullah Seema turned and shot at the edge of the box. It was saved by Kelleroos. That's the only save that either goalkeeper has had to make. As for Aberdeen, a free kick into the box. Stefan Gartman tried to get in the end of it. He couldn't really direct it goalwards. That's about as close as Aberdeen have come. And the main talking point, I suppose, would be the fact that Rangers had the ball in the back of the net. It was put there by Ross McCausland. Now, referee Don Robertson had blown the whistle before that, so no need for a VAR check. And I think on reflection, you guys will have seen it better than us here at the stadium, probably fair to say that Abdullah Seema left a bit too much on Nicky Devlin. I'm not sure we'll have too many complaints about that one, although you never know in Scottish football. So at the break here, it is Rangers 0, Aberdeen 0. In a polite sense, would you sum it up for us, Kenny Miller?
I think you've done very well there, Gordon. I mean, I thought you initially, when you were saying there's very little between the teams, you were actually going to say very little quality, because there has been too many long balls from both teams. But again, if you're looking at Rangers, where they've got a lot of the ball, but Aberdeen are allowing them to have the ball. They're allowing Conor Goldson, Leon Balogh, and even John Lundstrom at times to have the ball in the middle of the pitch. They're not going to want to go press. They're going to stay compact. They're making Rangers kind of, they're trying to frustrate Rangers. But Aberdeen, when they have the opportunity to get their foot on the ball and counter, like they have done over the last three or four games against Rangers, the quality has been absolutely non-existent.
bad decision after bad decision. Overhit passes, underhit passes. Johnny Hayes leaving the ball when he should really be taking it on to potentially have a 2v1 to go at Conor Goldson. You know, it's just been, it's like both teams, both sets of players know exactly what's at stake. They know, and they're fearing too much about maybe losing it rather than actually taking control of this game and going and winning it. So here's hoping for a way, way better second half.
Yeah, I would say simply that the weather in Glasgow is better than the standard of the football. I agree with you guys. I just listened to Hugh and Mark in the studio. And, you know, we're looking at from here, Gordon. Now, I'll cut the players some slack. The weather is poor here this afternoon. But it's simple passes, five-yard passes, the touches, the control, you know, the decision-making, for instance. That's nothing to do with the weather. That's just poor, poor standard. Aberdeen, as much as Barry Robson will be saying, right, OK, we're against Rangers, favourites, at Hampden, he'll be quite happy with the first half. But the standard of football they play for me is dreadful. You know, there's times when they can go and play out. I think Kenny touched on a great point. Johnny Hayes is in a brilliant position. And why he just runs over the ball is beyond me. They're no width to Aberdeen whatsoever. They never get down their flanks. They've got two guys we spoke about that can cause problems. The service is terrible. And it's the same up the other top of the pitch. I think Rangers, apart from the McCausland goal, which was rightly ruled offside, the referee, I think, has been very, very good today, first half, but we need a bit better in the second.
Things can only get better. That is the good news. Quality might not be there, but when it comes to drama and tension, that is only going to intensify, because at half-time in the first major cup final of the season, it is finally poised. It's Rangers 0, Aberdeen 0.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time at Hampden, it's Rangers 0, Aberdeen 0 in the League Cup final. Gordon Dalziel and Kenny Miller are here at the National Stadium. Kenny Miller, by virtue of the fact that Aberdeen are underdogs and carry less expectation, if that's the right phrase, I'm sure Barry Robson will not be happy with the performance. But would he be the happier of the two managers?
Absolutely. I mean, you're bang on. He'll not be happy, and because I think his game plan, we talked about game plan before, his game plan will be set up to frustrate and be dogged and be defending. But when you get your moments to go and counter with the quality they have, and through Clarkson and Miofsky and Sawclair up front, even Shinny breaking forward because he's got the legs to go do it, they've just not made the most of anything. So he'll be happy with the fact that it's 0-0, they're in the game, but he'll be looking for those moments for Aberdeen to be way, way better.
Because I suppose, Gordon, from an Aberdeen perspective, you get that feeling sometimes, and that these Aberdeen fans know that. If you come here and you're up against a team that's bang at it, maybe there's only so much you can do, but these Aberdeen fans behind us, you can sense, they know that Rangers are off this game as well. But can Aberdeen do more to try and make something happen?
Both teams can do more, Gordon. The standard's really, really poor, I've got to say. Aberdeen probably will look at this now and think, well, Rangers for 45 minutes have offered absolutely nothing. We will never get a better chance of going and winning the cup final. For me, they have to be, and I know that the game plan is to sit in there for straight Rangers, hitting the counter-attack. But if you just keep lumping the ball up to the front men and hoping that something's going to happen... Well, I'm sorry, I know it can happen now and again, but I don't think it will today. I don't think it will change the cup final. I'm looking at Johnny Hayes, for instance. He's playing as a left wing back. He's never been down the left-hand side. He's never given width. They're playing in the middle of the park. They're missing out the middle of the park where they've got some creative players in there. Go and try and play. But they've not offered anything. But to be fair to Aberdeen, Rangers are the same. Rangers, there's no pattern of play for Rangers at all. McCausland's getting the ball on the right hand side. Now, I spoke highly about this young lad. He's a ball carrier. He can get at full backs. He can cause you problems. Everything's safe. Everything's packed. Back to Tavernier. Dessers has never held one ball up. Cantwell's running all over the place. An odd glimpse of Sima down the left hand side. I'm sure Clement will be having a go at one or two of them.
Okay, what is Rangers' game plan here, Kenny? What's the style at the moment?
Well, there's zero style. That's what I mean. I think Rangers have played too many long balls. You talk about Aberdeen just pumping the ball long up to their front too. I think Rangers have played more long balls than I've seen all season, to be honest with you. It's like the conditions have dictated the fact that, right, OK, they could make mistakes. And I said, I think there's more about a fear of losing this game than actually taking a real control of it.
So is there something in that then, right? Because we've been quite scathing, and I don't always like to do that. Is the pressure, is the occasion, is that playing a part here?
Listen, I'll be honest with you, I've played in a few cup finals and there've not been great spectacles either. You know, there's been 1-0, in fact, I think they've had 3-1-0 wins in cup finals, and it could be one of these moments, but it's just, yeah, there's just not been the quality we expected for those two teams.
Well, one thing's for sure, it is a massive second 45 minutes, and it's coming up next.